From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
You do not want to be caught in an avalanche, nor do you want to have to search for someone buried by an avalanche. The relentless pursuit of avalanche education, awareness, and of being prepared is really the only thing that affords you the right to venture into the backcountry. Unfortunately, many fall short of that. This winter, the snowpack is very unstable, and since January 1, there have been dozens upon dozens of avalanches in the Wasatch and Uinta Mountains, all around the periphery of Park City. Chad Brackelsberg of the Utah Avalanche Center joins us now to discuss how we can best respect the unstable snow and protect ourselves. Welcome, Chad, to The Mountain Life.
Good morning, and it's great to be on. It's been a few months since I've gotten to talk to the two of you.
And you and your team have been very busy and working so diligently on making the community and all of those in the Wasatch back and Wasatch front aware of what conditions we have. And yet, unfortunately, there was a recent fatality in the mountains. Let's go ahead and start with understanding what is currently going on with the snowpack, and then we'll jump into the fatality.
You know, it's almost opposite of what you'd expect. When we don't have a lot of snow and things are thin out there, the snowpack is actually more unstable and we have higher avalanche danger than we normally would. So right now, you know, people might remember we had a lot of snow back in November, and then it basically went dry for a long period. The mountain biking got good again, the trail running was good, and people were thinking of anything but skiing. And so what happened during that time is the south aspects that had the sun on them, that snow mostly melted, but in the shade up high, it stayed cold. And that snow sat on the ground and it just turned to sugar crystals during that time. We then started getting snow in December, and that layer is now our weak layer. And so that's what's causing these dangerous avalanche conditions that we're seeing still today from that early season snow.
And with all of the low amounts of snow, I know a lot of the locals or those who are more commonly touring have really kind of put a pause button on out of bounds or backcountry skiing. And recently, the community was really excited to have 9990 opened, and then we got a little bit of snow. It seemed to be a perfect storm for a disaster. Tell us a little bit about the circumstances leading into this recent avalanche.
You know, we have this unstable snow. We've had a considerable danger for the avalanche danger on the north aspect. So really anywhere from west all the way to north and to east on the compass. And 9990 terrain, the terrain out of there, Dutch Draw, McDonald Draw, all those areas, they're phenomenal ski terrain. They are backcountry, even though you can see them right from the resort. And they also face north to northeast. So they're suspect to have that snow that was very weak. And it's wonderful that we have access to our public lands from these gates. But we do need to make sure that we realize that as soon as we exit that gate, whether it is 9990, whether it's a gate at Snow Basin or Brighton, we're in the backcountry and we are responsible for ourselves. There is no avalanche mitigation out there. There is no rescue. So when you go out there, you need to make sure that you have your avalanche rescue gear, you know how to use it. And that's the only way you can really ski those areas safely. And as you said, unfortunately, last Friday, the 9990 gate had been open for 5 or 6 days. And there were a lot of tracks in the area. People were skiing it safely, but the sign of tracks doesn't always mean that it's safe. And an unfortunate Utah man did find just the right spot to be able to trigger an avalanche. He was carried down Dutch Draw, and unfortunately he was buried, and he didn't have avalanche rescue gear, and his partners didn't have avalanche rescue gear, so they were unable to find him. Wasatch Backcountry Rescue got called in. They had to first get scene safety, so they called in and they had to do control work with a helicopter and bombing, and then they had to bring an avalanche dog in to eventually find the the buried victim in the snow and get him out of there.
Well, it's certainly tragic, and our deepest condolences to the family of that young man, taken far too soon. There are a lot of tragedies at Dutch's Draw, or Dutch's Draw, however you say it, and to the degree that I have heard that some people call it the killing fields. And there have been a lot of fatalities over the years since I've lived here on that slope. And it seems to me that most of those people have been either unprepared or underprepared. And I'm just wondering, Chad, what you think and what everyone at the Utah Avalanche Center thinks is the possible disconnect. I mean, is it not taking the skull and crossbones seriously? Is it not really believing, oh, people have died here? Is it that thought that we sometimes have, and a lot of times we have, you know, I've got kids in their 20s, and you don't have that sense of mortality when you're young. Is it just that sense that it's not going to happen to me?
It's a little bit of everything. I think there is some of that immortality of a teenager or a young person of, it can't happen to me. I'm an expert skier. I can outrun it. You do have a little bit of the unknown, even though it is marked, you are exiting the backcountry, you may die in here, you need to have a beacon shovel probe and a partner. People look at it, you can see it right from the lift. You stand at the top of the 9990 lift, you look over the rope line, all you see is tracks, and it looks like it's a ski resort. And so I think there's a sense of people thinking, well, it really can't be that dangerous. There's tracks on it. And tracks are not a sign of stability. There have been numerous occasions at ski resorts with avalanches on slopes that have had 200 to over 1,000 tracks on them. So it is a false sense of security that people have with that. And it is unfortunate that, you know, there isn't a way maybe to convince people that those warnings are serious. And maybe it's no different than a sign on the road that says, tells you to slow down for a curve, and yet people don't take the cruise control off 80, even though it says it's a 45 mile an hour curve. And so I sometimes feel like some of these signs are almost like that warning sign on the highway, that people become numb to them and almost don't even realize they exist.
Yeah, I definitely get that. Chad, I know you're not a snow scientist, but can we back up to when you were talking about what happened to the snowpack back in November after, you know, some people use the words like it rotted, or it just went through so many maybe freeze-thaw cycles that it transformed the particles, the crystals, the granules of snow. I know that when I go outside and shovel that amount of snow, it just completely falls apart. There's nothing that binds it together. And it is just fascinating. You can see it, but what is actually happening to transform those snow crystals into something that won't bind and maybe won't bind for the entire season?
Yeah, we don't want to get too technical here either. And as you said, I'm definitely not a snow scientist, but snow is almost like a living being. It changes as it sits on the ground. We all know that beautiful stellar crystal that falls out of the sky, that's our favorite powder to ski. That crystal then loses its beautiful shape. It turns into a round circular grain. But then as it gets buried, as it gets impacted by cold nights, warm days, as it gets buried deeper, it actually can turn into more of a square shape. And it looks very much like a frost crystal. And it's a similar process that's happening. And a great example is if you have a jar of small marbles, they have a lot of surface contact with each other that holds them together, touches each other, and they're strong. But if you filled a jar with small blocks that are cubes, they don't have a lot of places they can touch each other. And so they don't have that surface contact to build strength. And anybody, whether you are hiking at the resort or anywhere else, just go off into the trees a little bit, dig your hand into the snow, only about a foot or two, and you'll feel these sugary crystals. And it's just like your sugar bowl at home. And that's really the snowpack that we have right now across most of the state.
Which, if we were, you know, harvesting sugar across the state and actually using it for baking, that would be wonderful. But unfortunately, we are trying to ski, yes, or play on it. And as you mentioned, it's very unstable. And it's something that everyone should be concerned about. Is that correct? I mean, hikers, snowshoers, cross-country skiers, is this something that we all need to pay attention to?
It is. Anybody who's out recreating in the mountains, you don't have to be a big mountain skier skiing off big peaks. You can be hiking up Daly Canyon. You could be hiking just over in Lynn's neck of the woods in Bonanza Flat areas. There is avalanche terrain in all of these areas. So it's important to know what's above you, what's around you, understanding that you may be hiking up through a terrain trap, which might be like a gully or anywhere else that something can come down on top of you. And so a little bit of knowing what's around you and understanding those places is important. And something that we see frequently is that people know their favorite summer hiking trail, but sometimes those summer hiking trails can be in very dangerous locations in the winter. Another great example really in the Park City area is the Robs area up by Sun Peak, as well as some of the areas in Summit Park and Pine Brook. So just a little bit of knowing what's on the slopes around you can really be helpful. And you know, we have programs like Know Before You Go that is online at kbyg.org that will allow people to go out and get some free avalanche awareness to help them be more aware of those things.
And you bring up a great point, you know, as far as there's education, and we don't want people to be afraid to go out. We want them to do it wisely. We want them to enjoy all these resources, but we want them to be aware. And those summer hikes are not necessarily the perfect ones for winter. I believe there was an incident where there was a snowshoer in Tibble Fork who unfortunately really ran into a terrain trap.
On the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center, I go on, and I'm sure you do this too, Pete, and I don't even backcountry ski that often, but I just think it's an extremely interesting site and very educational. You can acquire all kinds of knowledge about avalanche just by reading these reports. There was an avalanche over, I want to say, in Big Cottonwood Canyon, maybe about a week ago, and it was some local icons, Rob Lee and Caroline Gleick, and they were skinning up a trail, and they triggered an avalanche. And did you by chance read that, Pete?
No, I didn't read that report.
Yeah, I wish I could remember exactly where it is, but maybe Caroline will do us the favor of reposting on Instagram. And she has, tens of thousands of Instagram followers and posted that. A lot of people saw it, but it was a very, very accurate and interesting description of, you know, making perhaps the right macro choices, but not the right micro choices, or vice versa. Their mistake was going across the skin track and not really realizing what was uphill from them. It wasn't where they were planning on skiing at all. They were planning on skiing lesser than 30 degree slopes, but it was that skin track. And so their mistake was following the skin track, because people that went ahead of them established this track, and it was in a dangerous spot, and it triggered an avalanche. They were very lucky. No one got caught in it. But I just wanted to make that point, because you can go on the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center website, read all these reports, and man, it's an education. I'm sure you're familiar with that report that Caroline Gleick and Rob Lee put on the site last week, or maybe it was like 10 days ago now.
Yes. Yes. And about 30% of avalanche accidents do happen on the uphill track. And as you're saying, when the track wasn't in, they were on a dangerous part of the track. And so it doesn't just happen when you're going down.
That's so important to point out that, you know, just as you had mentioned in Dutch's Draw, that we see others who've maybe skied an area, we trust a skin track. And, you know, let's throw this out there, Instagram and social media, that we see people with, or, you know, who are going out and skiing bigger terrain. What wisdom would you give, you know, the community when there's this FOMO or this trust?
You know, right now, our recommendation is just for people to dial it back a little bit. The snow is thin. The avalanche danger is considerable. The mountains, the big lines, they're all going to be there in a month or 6 or 8 weeks when things do settle out and become more stable. So there's going to be lots of opportunities to ski those same areas on more more stable and more safe conditions. And so one of the big things of the mountains is just patience. Not every day is the right day to take big chances or to ski big lines or to ride big lines in the mountains. And so it's knowing one of the things as you get more experience and one of the things you learn and at more advanced avalanche classes is how to make good decisions and when to know when something is safe and when it's not. And then developing that skill and that confidence to turn around when the conditions aren't right.
Chad, you were talking about your Know Before You Go. You have a video series and you can go through sort of that whole set of lessons. You can read about other incidents on your on the UtahAvalancheCenter.org website. And then you've started, I think maybe this is the first year, but correct me if I'm wrong, you have these little trailhead tables set up to educate people even as they may be heading out underprepared or unprepared. And, you know, what do those look like? I haven't seen one of those.
Yeah, a program that we started kind of building conceptually last winter before COVID even hit was a trailhead awareness program where we were looking at what is happening in the state and people are still dying in avalanches. And what we had seen is that since January of 2019, we've had 7 avalanche fatalities in Utah. And in all those cases, the victim or somebody in their party was missing some or all of their essential avalanche rescue gear, which is a transceiver, probe, and a shovel. Got us thinking of, well, how do we reach these people? How do we get this message out more? So we felt that one of the good way to do this is to meet people where they enter the backcountry. So on various weekends throughout the season, we are going out to trailheads, both in the Uintas, Logan area, Ogden area, Salt Lake, Park City. And we're just sitting and talking to people. We're talking to them about avalanches. We're offering help with rescue practice. We're answering questions, providing transceiver batteries if their batteries are low on power, and just trying to reach people more where they are as opposed to expecting them to come to us to get education and awareness. And this program so far has been really successful. We've actually had five different days. We've been out already. We're reaching a lot of people. Unfortunately, we were actually in discussions with the Canyon Ski Patrol about doing one of these days last Saturday, the day after the fatality. And we did still do one. We did it on Sunday. We had 4 people at the top of the 9990 gate for about 5 hours during the day, talking to everybody as they walked by. And it was some great interactions. It's really interesting to see, you know, the decisions that people were making. A lot of people changed their mind and didn't go into the dangerous backcountry because they didn't have a beacon shovel probe because we were there. And so we feel it's going to be a great way to reach some people that don't know about the Utah Avalanche Center and don't know about the dangers of avalanches.
And just briefly, we just have about a minute left, Chad, but a reminder to our listeners, the reason that gate stays open at 9990 has to do with you can't limit legally, access to U.S. Forest Service. Is that it? Or any public land? I don't know. Help us out on that one.
I can't give you an exact answer. I don't know the exact legal reasons, but it does have to do with an agreement between the resort and the Forest Service based on the placement of that lift and the terrain. So, I do commend the resort for keeping that gate open and allowing the public to access our forest lands through that gate. So it is a big endeavor for them to keep that open. And so it's a huge asset to those of us living in the community and recreating in that area to have that access.
Well, we certainly appreciate it all as backcountry users, and we appreciate, you know, the continued advocacy both for backcountry use and also safe backcountry use in the Wasatch and the greater Utah region. And if those who are new to the area have not, please go to UtahAvalancheCenter.org and know that we have one of the best avalanche centers in the country, a leader in the industry.
And thank you for that, Pete and Lynn and Pete. It's always an honor to be on the show and chat with you. And I would just encourage people, if they do have questions, reach out to the Utah Avalanche Center, get an education, get the gear, know how to use it and practice with it. And make sure you understand the dangers you are putting yourself and others in each time you go out in the backcountry.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.